You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Experience the musicals of tomorrow, today. Get a glimpse inside the blueprint of an original musical being developed in real time with New York Theatre Barn's podcast, The Musicals of Tomorrow.
The music of tomorrow.
I'm Joe Barros.
And I'm Jen Sandler.
And we're the hosts of The Musicals of Tomorrow. As the Artistic Director and Associate Artistic Director of New York Theatre Barn, we make space to speak in community with musical theatre writers and their creative teams.
Lifting up songs from original culture-shifting musicals in development and introducing them to a global audience has become a major part of New York Theatre Barn's evolving story.
Each original musical's intention, content, and journey are unique and extraordinary to the storytellers who create them. We believe that there is no formula for musical theater except authenticity.
We recently spoke with the writers of Mimosa, Lauren Taslitz and Danny Ursetti, and the writers of 10 Brave Seconds, Jeff Talbot and Will Van Dyke.
Our first musical is Mimosa, which has book and lyrics by Lauren Taslitz and music by Danny Ursetti.
Mimosa is a plant with a special gift. She can dance. Mom begs her to stop, concerned that she could be noticed by a human. Then along comes lonely teenage human Molly, who catches sight of Mimosa dancing and is so delighted by her, she digs Mimosa up and takes her home. Together, they learn to communicate in order to unite and heal their imperiled communities. Mimosa is a cautionary tale that asks us to see ourselves as natural parts of the natural world in order to preserve and save our environment.
And now here's our conversation with the writers of Mimosa, Lauren Taslitz and Danny Ursetti. Well, Danny Ursetti and Lauren Taslitz, it's great to see you both. Danny, you are a composer and percussionist from Southern California. Your work has been developed with Barrington Stage Company, Prospect Theater Company, Coastal Carolina University, and NYU Tisch Drama Stage Works. You also served as music assistant to your mentor and friend William Finn on the Broadway revival of Falsettos. And rumor has it that you're collaborating on a project together.
That's very true. We're working on a song cycle right now about the pandemic, and we're hoping to have that ready for the summer to maybe do a little reading.
Awesome. Can't wait for that. Falsettos is my favorite musical, and Bill Finn is my favorite composer of all time.
It is? I've never heard this about you.
Lauren, you are a lyricist, librettist who splits time between Chicago and New York. Your work has been developed with Barrington Stage Company, National Asian Artist Project, Porchlight Music Theater, Prospect Theater Company, and the Fifth Avenue Theater. You were the 2020 Robert and Stephanie Olmsted McDowell Fellow and have also been in residence at the Fifth Avenue Theater, the Johnny Mercer Grove at Goodspeed, and the Catwalk Institute. You and Danny were Dramatists Guild Fellow finalists in 2019, among many other finalists and awards as well. So Danny and Lauren, what inspired your collaboration and what was the impetus to tell a story about the sentient power of plants and our connection to the natural world?
We met at NYU's Graduate Musical Theater Writing Program in 2015. and really started to work together in our second year in Bill Finn's lyric writing class. I had admired Lauren's lyrics from afar and was very excited when Bill started assigning me to work with her. And because of that, after we graduated, Bill kind of commissioned us to write a show for his cabaret at Barrington Stage, which we worked on at his house in Pittsfield over the summer. And that became Regretting Almost Everything. And we've been working together ever since and regretting very little, I think.
Right. I mean, this show, it's not like we set out to write a show about the relationship between plants and humans or plant sentience. We were in Times Square on a hot summer night before the pandemic where you couldn't move or breathe. And I suddenly just wished we could walk into a theater, have the door closed behind us, and be transported into the woods. You know, and I told Danny, and we were like, okay, cool, but what's the show? And we had no idea. But not long after that, sort of one thing led to another. And I wound up reading about a woman named Monica Gagliano, who was an environmental ecologist, a scientist. And she wrote a book called Thus Spoke the Plant, which she calls her phytobiography. It was a book that she co-authored with plants. And her book basically alternated between her spiritual encounters with plants and then the experiment she did in a laboratory that showed plant sentience, learning, memory, communication, intelligence. And I mean, like, if it had just been about the spiritual encounters, I would have sort of, you know, had no reason to doubt it, but I don't know that it would have hit me as hard. But because of all of these lab experiments, I was like, oh my God, I think plants are like people, like plant persons. And I told Danny, and you know, growing up here in this sort of Judeo-Christian capitalist world, right, where it's humans are above everything and everything else is an object or commodity. It was talk about disruptive and transformative theater. It's like our heads exploded. And I mean, I started taking walks in Central Park and forcing myself to say hi to the trees, you know, when nobody was looking, to just try to get used to the idea. But anyway, we still didn't. So then we knew we wanted to write about plant sentience, but we still didn't know what the show was. And then we read the intro to a book called The Secret Life of Plants. And the last line of the intro, to paraphrase, is, and so it seems that plants are ready, willing, and able to work with humans on this huge task of regrowing the garden. And I'm like, now that's a musical. Okay, but we still didn't actually know what the musical was. And, you know, more time went by. And then one day, and this was one of the many moments when, like, being a writer makes you feel like a moron because it took you so long to think of it. But it was like, oh my God, what if the protagonist is a plant? I mean, we want to write about plant sentience. Of course the protagonist should be a plant because that's the point. And suddenly it stopped being about all of these intellectual issues we face, and because it felt so right. And it felt sort of wonderful and exciting to change our understanding of our place in the world.
I was just going to say, it reminded me when I discovered March the Falsettos, Falsetto Land in Trousers, which became Falsettos, that a musical could be anything, and it could be about you, and that it could be about deep things like this. And so I think, you know, and I remind people, a musical can be about anything. And, you know, while this is about the plant world and humans, there's a deep, deep, powerful metaphor in here. And, you know, indigenous peoples have known for hundreds of years that plants are conscious. You know, studies have been done with mimosa plants, for people who don't know. A mimosa plant, when dropped or touched or affected, wilts and revives on its own. It senses things. So when tests were done with the mimosa plant, the third or so time the plant was dropped, it did not wilt, because it learned and felt things, essentially.
Yeah. And how did you decide this was a family story? Because I think you have lessons that are so important to adults, but I think it's a cautionary tale that also is so simple to children and young adults about how they need to look at the environment.
Well, we just kind of felt like we wanted to write a joyful show, and we wanted to write a show that would be fun for us to write. And I mean, and it was fun for us to write. We wanted something accessible because really the goal was to have as many people as possible see it and leave the theater going, did they actually mean that? Like, they don't really want us to think the plants are talking. But the thing is, we do. And like, if I tell Elle, my five-year-old granddaughter, like, what would you say to the tree? Like, if I say, introduce yourself, she'll introduce herself to the tree. But I wanted the adults to wonder if maybe they should introduce themselves to the tree. I know I sound insane. I am so not insane.
Let's talk about, you haven't even been writing the show for that long, which is the craziest part to me. You started it during the pandemic, and you've already won some awards for it during the pandemic.
Yeah, because it's, I mean, I have written, this is probably my eighth book musical, and the others have been important to me and I think worthwhile. But this is the most exciting. Danny?
No, yeah, I mean, we started it, and I think having the time to kind of live in this world and build it, like I got to work on things like the orchestration that I normally wouldn't have time to work on, kind of, it was just really a unique way to write a show that we wouldn't have had. I don't think we would have written it the same way. And yeah, we were lucky. NAMPT announced this award, this 15-minute contest, which honestly really pushed us to keep writing it. Because we had started writing the first song and then, you know, the world shut down. So we were just streaming shows, or I was just swiping on my phone. And then Lauren was like, well, maybe we can finish 15 minutes of it. And then when we started that, we kept going. And then when we found out we won the NAMPT 15-minute musical contest, it was like a sign, like, let's just keep going and see what happens.
And you also connected with Michigan State University's design classes, who also helped you envision what the show could be. And Joe also has had the great gift of showing the show to his students, who are all under 18, correct, Joe? And have interpreted the show and put their spin on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, all my students from The Right Way have had a great time working with my favorite song from the show with them called Gotta Move, which you're going to see in full tonight.
So let's hear more about Gotta Move.
So this song kind of introduces our main character, Mimosa, who is a rambunctious plant with a special gift, played by Shireen Pimentel. You'll also meet Mimosa's overprotective mother, played by Christine Toy Johnson, who, newly elected treasurer of the Dramatists Guild, hooray. And you'll also hear a chorus of Mimosa's family sung by Belin Moyano and Forrest Van Dyke.
So here is Gotta Move.
snooze when you are rooted in the dirt. Taking charge is awesome. Breaking rules is great. Getting high by trying and defying expectations. Reach contract. Reach contract. If you're blessed with special skills that others lack.
Rosa, stop. Why? It's a gift.
Gift. It's a flaw. It's a curse. Cut it out or things will go from bad to worse. Save your strength. Stay alert. Life's a snooze when you are rooted in the dirt. Staying still is boring.
Stop.
Playing dead
still. Mimosa.
Where is the surprise to light my eyes with wild
one?
Never gets old.
So what is the second song we're going to see tonight?
The second song is called Can't Do It Alone. It's kind of the message of the show in a way. I mean, the thing I'd say, I'll set it up and then I'll say one thing quickly. The setup is so Mimosa's mom doesn't want her to dance because she might be seen by a human and you cannot trust humans. And sure enough, Mimosa dances. She's seen by Molly, this 14-year-old human who digs her up, takes her home, and 5 minutes later, Molly, who cannot dance at all, is given the task of making up a dance and teaching it to the whole town. Mimosa volunteers, offers to teach Molly a dance, and Mimosa and Molly spend the next 3 days locked in Molly's room, planned teaching human this dance, and that's how their friendship grows and they bond. And the whole time, they're listening to what is really a pop song on the radio called Can't Do It Alone. And that is what we are about to hear.
Danny, do you want to add anything?
No, just that, I mean, I guess this song, Joe, kind of, you asked us to do this song and we were pretty kind of hesitant to do it because we weren't happy with it. But through rewriting and kind of building this version of it, adding sections, cutting sections, we're really happy with how this turned out. And we think Diana Huey is playing Molly and Shireen Pimentel again is Mimosa and they completely kill it. And hopefully you all are dancing at home.
We're really excited about this song as well. So here is Can't Do It Alone with Diana and Shireen.
The sun is shining. I can't feel the heat. The music's playing. I can't feel the beat. Forgive me, babe, for doing all the taking. I didn't see the mess that I was making. Now I see the way it has to be. Glitter, but the path is dark. I hit the bullseye, but I missed the mark. I was so sure, but baby, I was clueless. I felt secure, but now I'm lost and rootless. Baby, I'm coming back to you. Holding together is the way we'll flourish. I promise from now on to tend and nourish. That's the way to a better day.
To a better day.
I need you, you need me. Faith is nothing we can't do together. I breathe you.
So thank you both so much tonight for introducing Mimosa to the world. We are so grateful that you could be here. And we think that there's a really powerful message here and something that we've never seen in a musical. So thank you for your beautiful show and your fantastic collaboration.
And we hope to have a real life Mimosa with you soon. We have to.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you guys. We'll see you soon.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Our second new musical is 10 Brave Seconds, which has music and lyrics by Will Van Dyke and book and lyrics by Jeff Talbot.
10 Brave Seconds is a new musical about the day that 16-year-old Mike comes out of the closet and the cosmic change that affects his community. Mike is about to find out that it's on the other side of the telling that all the good stuff sits waiting. This original story is about those tiny, brave seconds that make up the gargantuan moments that tell you and the world who you are.
And now, here's our conversation with the writers of 10 Brave Seconds, Jeff Talbot and Will Van Dyke.
I'm Joe.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm so glad you both could join us and that you have such beautiful walls of fame behind you.
Yeah, fantastic. Oh, God, yeah.
I can't compete with Jen's Naughty Pine, but yeah.
That's right. Jeff, you are best known as the writer of The Submission, which was the inaugural recipient of the Lawrence Hatcher Award and was produced off-Broadway by MCC Theater in 2011. It went on to receive the Outer Critics Circle John Gassner Award for New American Play and was a 2011 O'Neill semifinalist. Your work has been developed with TACT, Utah's Pioneer Theater Company, and Montclair State University. Will, you are a New York-based songwriter and one of the industry's most in-demand music supervisors and a frequent collaborator of the great Andrew Lipa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can speak for you at events if you'd like. you're even a 2021 Grammy Award nominee for your work on the cast recording of the hit revival of Little Shop of Horrors.
Product placement.
That's right. Your recent orchestration credits include Fly, which premiered right before shutdown at La Jolla, Pretty Woman, Kinky Boots Rent, The Addams Family, Grease, and Wicked, just to name a few. Your band has played all over the country and have notably backed up the likes of Matt Doyle and Anna Lee Ashford, among others. And together, you've written music and lyrics for Imagine Harry, Winter Song, Seven Broken Hearts, and The Circle and the Wheel. And as a team, you've been finalists for the 2019 Fred Ebb Award. Wow. So Jeff and Will, how did you come to collaborate and what inspired you to create this coming of age while coming out musical story of hope?
Jeff and I, about 5 years after that concert and 5 years after The Submission opened, Jeff and I were both looking for collaborators, new people to like collaborate with. And Jeff actually like sent me an email one day. He was like, I don't know if you are looking to write with new people or anything like that, but I'd love to pick your brain and talk to you. And we went out for chicken and waffles at the Delta Grill, like, which is sadly gone. And the rest is sort of history. We started talking about a musical, at like an idea for a musical that day, just over brunch, and started writing it, I think that like that week. And it was kind of crazy and wild. And that got us to today.
Cool. Well, maybe we could talk a little bit about how you guys came to write this story together.
We wanted to write a musical about coming out, but more about it's sort of like breaking down that structure a little bit, where the musical is about not just about the event of coming out itself, but sort of the idea of coming out and how it's like that. It's a small, like regular moment. And we tried to frame it in the idea of like one day, to sort of like constrain ourselves a little bit to like time and tell a story that way. But it was really important to us that the musical, the event of the musical was not just this concept of like a kid coming out, because we've all seen that story, and more about an entire, like how that affects the people around him and how everybody, like gay or straight or whatever, comes out almost every single day of their life, because we all have things that we're holding on to and then we sort of like release them as we grow. And that is what really interested us about this story. And so it's really a show about, you know, a family who's dealing with this one particular event, but they're each, you know, in their own way coming out of something.
And it was interesting. I gave this to our artistic associate to read, and he was like, what does it sound like to you? And I said, you know, it's its own thing, but it's almost like Dear Evan Hansen meets The Prom in the best way possible.
Sure, I'll take
that's
it.
That's kind of, yeah, I've been saying that a lot lately to Joe, too. So why did you want to be a part of this project, though? You know, why, you know, you and Will have written a lot of different shows together, but what sparked your excitement about this show?
I think both of us have always had a desire to enter the narrative landscape of talking about coming out, but there are so many versions of that story. And for me, we first started fishing around about adapting, but the stories that we found were either too heavy and too after school specially, or too tricky and too high context. And we really wanted to sell something straightforward about recognizable human beings at a crossing point in their lives where they have to say something scary. So that it isn't just about coming out as a gay human being into the world, but everybody in the show has a secret, something they're afraid to share. And by the end of the show, everybody has to face that 10 brave second moment of actually saying something to tell somebody who you are.
Since the show hasn't really had much development, where do you see the show moving next? Or what do you, what do you need?
We, you know, we'd love to hear it. but as we all know, the hearing of a musical isn't just get your friends together and in one afternoon do a thing. It takes support. And like everybody, we're looking for the kind of support that could give us 29 hours to actually explore and end that time with all of us finding out something together. Because the next step with every piece of writing is asking other human beings to enter the room with you so you can find out what you have.
Yeah, Jeff and I are also both big rewriters. Like, we like to like put things on people and make it theirs. And so we want to be able to do that with actors and a director and all of those things.
And is it a show you see a lot of movement with? Is it a show, you know, is it more of a, you know, what kind of show is it? Is it a show with big dance numbers? Is it a show in your mind with more movement? You know, I think musicals can be so many things right now.
I think it depends on a director's vision, really. I mean, it's heavy narrative. All of our shows have a big book element, and we're waiting for that partnership to let somebody lend a visual life to the thing so that we can rise to meet that.
There's also, because a lot of the show takes place in a high school, there's also like, you know, that ensemble element that's really interesting to bring into it. And the way we've constructed the show and written it is, it's a lot of narrative with those people.
Right.
So, you know, there's obviously opportunity for movement, but it's up to somebody to come in and figure that out, you know?
So you're definitely looking for collaborators and opportunities to take this off the page and potentially go to, or even go to a retreat or a theater in, say, Connecticut that has great actor housing.
And it can be so many things right now. It doesn't know what it wants to be yet. And that's the most exciting part.
Yeah. Yeah. We just finished a draft. We're ready to go.
You heard it.
Cool. Well, let's show the world two amazing numbers from this. The first song is called Off the Playground. Tell us a little bit about what happens before that song is sung in the show.
Both of these songs take place back to back near the end of the show, and they come at the climax of two different relationships. And Off the Playground comes, the show is largely populated by 16-year-old humans. And this song features two of them who have been at odds for a long time in the show, and they meet on a playground and are discussing what it might mean to actually become a grown-up in the world.
I think you put it, Will, do you have anything to add?
I was just going to say, and Troy Iwata and Angela Trevino sing it really beautifully.
That's right.
So here is Off the Playground.
We're sitting on a pony and a cat. Too big to fit, but that's just where we're at. They don't move, never will. Planted deep in the ground. And we don't budge like them, we're frozen still. While the planet's spinning round. On teeter-totters fly, and though it doesn't last, they see the sky. They fly free while we sweat, step by step in our groove, 'cause we are super stuck, our pattern set, and it's time we start to move. We've gotta get off the playground. Too short to live in a disguise. Who will be? I guess we'll see. I'm tired of compromise. So while we're on this kitty and this horse, can we agree it's time to change our course? Do we move as a pair? Maybe yes. it's up to you to help me to realize. Pretending we're always together could push us apart.
And I don't want to grow apart.
And finding a balance like riding a seesaw's alive.
We'll find our balance and
so
our
let's climb off these childish toys and start. We're gonna get off the playground. Start building toward a better prize. We're gonna get off the playground now. Nobody won the fight. It's done. Tomorrow's sun will rise. Life's a scroll you can't control, so give up and improvise. The river bends and we're still friends. Whatever comes next, we'll improvise.
Aww.
I'll be singing that for the rest of this week. All right, so then you said this, the next song comes right after that song, so tell us a little bit about that.
The very next song is the coming out song in the musical, and it's for our young hero who finally tells his dad who he is. But we wanted it to not be the song you expect. So we found through research, we found a piece of information about a very famous author that allowed us to build into the show a longer story that culminated in not only our main character coming out, but learning something about somebody from history that both Will and I didn't know before we started writing the show.
I was going to say it's a very different moment, but it sort of reminds me a little bit of the moment where Alfie Byrne connects with Oscar Wilde in A Man of
No Name.
Yeah.
Yep. That's right.
Will, you were going to say something?
Oh, but I was just agreeing with Jeff and everyone.
And who is singing the song?
This is Makai Hernandez, and he's awesome.
He's so awesome.
I got a little homework an hour or so ago about a famous author. He's one you probably know. He wrote a lot of weird stuff, but his most famous tale took place out on the water about a captain and a whale. The writer is the story, much more than what he wrote. His marriage was a castle, his books became his moat. He let old Captain Ahab be his lonely avatar. His life's a proper lesson on hiding who you are. It made me tired, it made me mad. It made me look straight in the mirror and be fed up looking sad. I'm done chasing someone who isn't there. And if you don't like who you're seeing, Dad, I don't have time to care. I'm not gonna lie again, I'm not gonna cry. I'm tired of wondering when I might start to fly. My life's gonna be my quest to carve my own trail. I'm not gonna be some sad lost captain. I'd rather be the whale. I'm sitting in the backseat when I should grab the wheel. It's my car, time to drive it and say out loud what's real. You've made it clear it's not who you hoped I'd grow to be. But I'm all through with hiding and living silently. Does this feel strange? Well, that's too bad. You think I'm selfish? I'm not sorry, cause it's not a passing fad. I'm through with pursuing some phantom goal to be what everybody needs and fill some worn out empty role. I'm gonna be wide awake, not sleep in a cave. I'm gonna be who I am, and who I am is brave. my own fairy tale. Just watch me prevail. I'll be like a fantasy worth chasing. I'm gonna be the whale. I'm leaving my fear behind and racing ahead. No longer a follower, a leader not be led. The salty air sweet and clean, I'll pause and inhale. I'm done taking Melville's road to hide and weep and wail. I'm living a big screen life in epic size and scale. The title character is me now. I just became the whale.
Line at the end, the title character is me now. Just really, really got me when I first read it, and it still does now.
Oh, thanks.
So I feel like, you know, your show, we're in an age where coming out is so much more accepted, but getting there is what the hardest thing is. So how do you hope your show will inspire adolescents and young theater kids that need this message and need it so they can be their truest self?
I think my dream would be that we're writing a show that a family could come to, and at the end of the show, either a kid could turn to his parents or a parent could turn to their kid and say, "I have something to tell you." You know, that it opens a conversation. It creates a platform for a family or a human being to have a conversation with another human being about something they're afraid to talk about.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think I really am like hooked into this like 10 brave seconds idea that we came up with which ended up being the title of the musical, and just the idea that it really like the most monumental things that we'll ever do in our life really happen in like these like really brief seconds. And if you can like learn to embrace them and like be comfortable with them, you become your true self. And to be able to deliver that message to anyone would be awesome.
Yep.
I was just going to say, and you know, coming out isn't always just the extreme trauma that we always hear about. You know, I was really lucky as a kid who grew up in an amazing family in the San Francisco Bay Area during the AIDS crisis. And, you know, I did feel safe and supported to come out. But for me, it wasn't so much that I was afraid to tell my parents. It was that I was afraid to admit it to myself, because stepping over that threshold in those moments of time meant that I got to become a new person, but I had to face the reality of who I was too.
We also very strategically wanted to include some adults in the show, and there's an older gay man in the show who isn't so much a mentor, but a representative of a generation of people who had a different experience, to offer a different lens for our lead person to understand that the thing he's facing has been faced in different circumstances for other, and the responsibility that's being passed on should be passed on by him to others. You know, the life is a chain, and we're all building links into that chain.
Absolutely. And you know, you could be somewhere like San Francisco, you could be somewhere like Minnesota, and you need the right people to find you to make the right choices, even if you're somewhere super accepting or somewhere not. So it's so important to hear these kind of things. And I love that this title kind of found you. When did you realize the show was going to be called 10 Brave Seconds? Because it sounds like it was a part of the fabric of what your show was before it was your full identity as the title.
I might say this wrong, and Jeff, you might correct me, but I don't know that we knew it was the title right away. But then once we wrote the song, we were like, oh, that's the title of this musical.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, and it also, once we realized that time, like 10 seconds was our hinge, it also gave us the larger lens to write a show that takes place in one day. Time is a character in the show. Time is a thing that everybody's working against in good and less good ways. And we wanted to embrace that in a narrative structure too. So it isn't just your typical musical where the beginning, middle, and end happen with flashbacks and all sorts of things that are nonlinear. This is ultra linear in that it takes place in from sun up to sundown.
And it only takes a day for things to change like that, for to make a change in your life. That's what's most important.
One of the last lyrics of the show is sometimes the life can happen in a day, which is exactly what we were going for.
So there's a great message, and it's cost effective for theater because there's only one costume per person per se.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for sharing the beginning of 10 Brave Seconds' journey. We can't wait to see what happens next and to support you along the way.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been such a thrill to be here.
Join us next time for more of The Musicals of Tomorrow. If you enjoyed The Musicals of Tomorrow, please rate, subscribe, and share. Our theme song, The Music of Tomorrow, was written by Lynn Schenkel and Sarah Cooper for their all-female-identifying musical, Perpetual Sunshine and the Ghost Girls.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.